you consider yourself a spiritual person?
I don't really understand the point of the question. I consider myself a moral person.
Do you believe in God?
As a scientist, I rely on empirical evidence, and in this matter, I don't believe that there is data either way.
So your answer would in fact be that you don't believe in God?
I don't understand the relevance of the question.
95% of the world's population believes in a supreme being in one form or another. Question more than relevant.
Tonight we are on for 1 hour, and we probably will do so again tomorrow. Just an hour-long program today until about 9 o'clock. I just have some other things that I have to do, so we just did a condensed version of the show today. But with that in mind, if you've read our little thing on Blog Talk Radio, pretty much the description of the show today, what I noticed is that we have not been covering a lot of celebrity news. And probably because, look, it's just 12 days before the election. Things are heating up. You know, the campaign has hit a fever pitch. You know, we just had the debate, and it's been pretty high in the political world, which is where I live. You know, and I also live in sort of like the news cycle, so I get very, very much caught up in that. And I haven't had an opportunity to lighten it up. Now, a lot of you don't know this, so let me tell you. Oh, by the way, it's Reese on the Radio, October 25th, 2012, 2 minutes after the hour. A lot of you may not know this. Some of you might remember this, but you may not. So, anyway, here's the breakdown. So when I was a kid, I was fascinated by television and movies. It was the one thing as a child that was my true route of escapism. Love television, love the movies, just nuts about that. And I thought being the coolest thing in the world that I could be was an actor. I thought I would be great at it. I had the look, the stare, had the JCPenney pose. You know which one I'm talking about. I really believe that I sort of had that down. I understood the craft. So in a lot of ways, I wanted to be an actor growing up. I wanted to be a big actor. I didn't want to do movies or anything like that. I wanted to do television. I wanted to be in shows like The A-Team, Knight Rider, maybe even T.J. Hooker, for crying out loud. I was a fan of the genre. So I never got that chance. So, and the reason why I never really pursued it, because I never really thought that I was all that good looking into it. I just didn't think I had the looks for it. And probably subconsciously, I didn't think that there were a lot of black people in television. I mean, I knew I grew up with shows like Good Times. You know, I grew up with Sanford and Son and the Jeffersons. It's not like black shows weren't on television. They were there. You know, That's My Mama. What's Happening? The shows were there. Anyway, I can't believe I actually referenced That's My Mama. Anyway. Involved in acting in that regard, I was still very fascinated by actors and actresses, celebrities. So what I really wanted to do then was figure if I can't do the actual job, I figured I would know everything there was to know about television and movies. I was the go-to guy, and I have to thank a television personality by the name of, well, he was the big name on Entertainment Tonight. He now does, he plays piano. He plays a lot of that Yanni stuff. And I want to say his name is Tesh. He's got blonde hair. Somebody's going to tell me. John Tesh. I'm almost certain that's his name. John Tesh. And I was crazy about what he did on that show with Mary Hart. I thought they had great chemistry. And he got to meet all of these cool people and talk about their movies and be on the movie set and all that other stuff. So I grew up watching that, and I figured, you know, I would be a great entertainment reporter. I knew all their work. I knew all their work. I know what they'd done. And I wouldn't ask these stupid questions that you always hear these guys like Billy Bush ask. You know? How are you like the character you play? We don't want you to be anything like the character you play. We want you to become the character. That's what acting's all about. I don't want to play a character that I'm just like. That defeats the whole idea of acting. Now, I always liked the question of what drew you? What was that draw to play this role? I always thought that was an important question. You see a movie, you read it. What drew you to this role? I always liked that. And the guys never ever tell you an honest answer. They always give you something stupid, like, oh, I read the script, and I thought the guy was very fascinating. And then the actor always gets philosophical on you. You know, I thought that this was, you know, this was a real person, a person that I can actually, you know, see in real life. No, you don't. The purpose of movies and television is that these people don't exist and can't exist. If we want to see somebody who's like the people that we see every day, that's what we have reality television for. Even though it's not really reality. But you get my point. Reality TV is what Honey Boo Boo ain't putting nothing on. Oh, people are really stupid. It's that simple. But most people take a role like, if I were Will Smith and someone asked me a question like, what drew you to this role? And Will Smith said, oh, I was a big fan of the TV show. I saw a couple of episodes and I thought it was great. Now, if you found out that Will Smith was talking about that movie, The Wild Wild West, with Kevin Klein, you'd slap the ish out of him. What drew you to this film is that some moron told you, hey, we're going to put it out on the 4th of July, and every movie we put out that's an action-adventure film with you in it on the 4th of July makes mega bucks, Will. And that's what I would have expected. I said, come on, Will, seriously. The Wild Wild West? Kevin Klein? Seriously? Kevin Branagh? What drew you to this movie? Was it the fact that it's going to be a summer hit and you're going to make $100 million out of it and you're going to get a big fat truck backed up to your household with money? That would have been my question. I would change the whole game. I would change the entire game. But these people, they're nothing but suck-ups. They're not real. They don't get real questions. See, I was laughing today, and there's a reason why I thought about this thing, because it came right through my mind. I'm watching Billy Bush on Access Hollywood, whatever. He runs that show with Kit, whatever her last name is. I used to like Kit from the Road Rules series on MTV. She was one of my favorite characters on Road Rules. I liked her. She's cute. She's, you know, she's perky. Whatever. And I'm watching Billy Bush. He's talking to Sarah Jessica Parker, Horseface, you know her. And he's talking to her about Donald Trump. Now, why is he doing that? Of course, because he knows that Sarah Jessica Parker had a fundraiser for Barack Obama. He's talking to her about Donald Trump and his $5 million deal, you know, the one I made so much fun of yesterday. Now, he's talking to Sarah Jessica Parker, and what's he doing? He's allowing Sarah Jessica Parker to come on his airwaves and bash the Donald, call him a jackass, anything and everything under the sun. Just pretty much taking a big fat crap on him. This is what I find amazing, is that Billy Bush would get there and promote that nonsense by this halfwit baby killer. Oh, that's right, I said it. Oh, you didn't know Sarah Jessica Parker was a baby killer? Oh, you didn't know that? No, you didn't know? Okay, I'll fill you in a second. See, I told you, I know these people. I know what they do. Yeah, Sarah Jessica Parker, baby killer. Anyway, bottom line is, What would he say to Donald Trump when Donald Trump, who's on NBC, same network as his? What would he say when Donald Trump comes to him and says, "Hey, Billy, you just bring horse face on your show to try to disrespect me, my man? Huh? Are you serious? I could buy your wife, Holmes. What are you talking about? I could buy your whole family. You're some pipsqueak. You may be loosely related to the Bush family from the White House, but they don't even recognize you as a human being. I'm closer to George W. Bush and Herbert Walker Bush than you are, and you're related by blood. You bring a horse-faced baby killer to come on here on NBC, my network, to bash me? What are you, silly? I slapped you in your face. And what do you think Billy Bush is going to do? He's going to kowtow. He's going to run. He's going to hide. He's going to punk out. But I'm sure he's going to hear from Donald Trump. But let me get back to baby killer, Sarah Jessica Parker. You didn't know this, but I'm telling you. You see, I know people in this industry. Anybody remember the baby that she had? You know, one, there's a baby that she had through a surrogate. Was it a baby or babies? I think it's baby. She had one surrogate. But there was one baby that she actually had. That she had through in vitro fertilization. And I know the guy who handled her procedure, that when she had three babies in her belly, they killed the other two. That's right. That's right. Sarah Jessica Parker killed the other two to keep one baby. So that's why I call her a baby killer. I know the doctor. I know the hospital. I know the technician who did the procedure. I know them all. I don't brag very much. I don't have to drop names. I don't have to tell everybody who it is that I know. But I know this. This is information that no one's talking about. And don't get me wrong. A lot of people in the industry know this, especially guys like Billy Bush and Mary Hart and all these excess Hollywood Inside Edition people. They all know. But they'll never ever report it. I don't care. If the board wants to sue me for slander, go right ahead. But prove to me the procedure didn't happen. Plus, because I know the hospital. And don't worry about how I get the information. Trust me, nobody leaked it. It just came up in conversation. Baby killer. It's that simple. But I want to talk about celebrity news today. Because these people, they're awful individuals. I mean, it's a great thing that it never, ever happened to me. I have to look at the bright side here. Thank God I did not end up there. Because I think that what they do in their lives, they're just weird. They're just quirky. Let's talk about our good friend, P. Dummy. Sean P. Diddy Combs, as I've always called him. Combs, because it sounds like coon. Anybody hear about his car accident today? Go watch the video on TMZ. And somebody explained to me how after the car accident, P. Diddy was hiding behind a fence when the cameras came on. Why was he hiding? He wasn't driving. He was just in the accident. But he was hiding behind a fence when the cameras were looking at him. Increasingly odd behavior. He doesn't have an album out, does he? Does P. Dummy have an album out? Does he have a CD? Is this something P. Dummy's talking about? He's got a record with it, Dirty Money. Is there a Sean John product that I don't know about? I know he's got a couple of Macy's commercials where he's running around. I don't know much about him anymore. I don't pay too much attention to him. To me, he is nothing more than a nuisance on the public airwaves. He is an absolute nuisance. I don't understand the purpose of him being around other than making garbage money. But he's there. For what purpose, I don't know. Oh, I got to get this guy on the phone. Oh, I've got to get this man on the phone. Anyway, as soon as I can get JC into the studio, because I'm trying to figure out where the hell he is. He's probably having dinner or lunch or a secondary meal, but we'll get him on the phone. I've got plenty of entertainment news that I need to talk about. Negroes are all over the place. I have Vivica Fox, another nobody with no career, is bashing another nobody with no career, Stacey Dash. I want to get into that. I have to get into some pathetic rumors that Kim Kardashian and Kanye West are engaged. Very, very scary story. Oh, it's a scary story in and of itself. Oh, and I have to play this. Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel are getting some heat over a wedding video. If you haven't heard about it, I'll get the audio for you. Apparently, a manager of his, or somebody who's in his camp, for their private wedding, he did a mock video where he went around talking to people who could not make it to their wedding. He produced this videotape of people who could not make it to their wedding, and it turns out that it was a video of homeless people. And some people are up in arms because they think it's them making fun of homeless people, and it's created some issues. And I think it's only right that we play the video in its entirety. Gawker has posted it, and I believe that this manager or whomever is trying to sue. But I want to see it. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm going to be playing it for the first time for each and every one of us to hear at the same time. I don't want to hear it before anybody. I want to play it here live and see if it's at least worth the chuckle. At least if it's worth the chuckle. And we'll get into that and much, much more when we return on Reese on the Radio. And my computer is doing a bunch of crazy things today, so folks, please forgive me if I go through some hell with some late audio just that doesn't play, because it's going to be a pain in the ass. But anyway, we'll be back. It's Reese on the Radio. Stick around.
I think you or anybody who's been watching me campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
The question in this election is, which way do we go? Do we go forward towards a new vision of an America in which prosperity is shared, or do we go backward to the same policies that got us into this mess in the first place?
We've always tried to bring the country together.
We're not trying to push financial reform because we begrudge success that's fairly earned. I mean, I do think at a certain point you've made enough money.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
It is important for me to go ahead and affirm that I think same-sex couples should be able to get married.
The private sector is doing fine.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This month we're announcing the 2012 launch of African Americans for Obama.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
Visit Latinos.BarackObama.com to get involved today, because we are greater together. Estamos Unidos.
We've always tried to bring the country together.
This unbelievable American system that we had that allowed you to thrive. Somebody invested in roads and bridges. If you've got a business, you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
I don't think you or anybody who's been watching the campaign would suggest that in any way we have tried to divide the country. We've always tried to bring the country together.
Reese on the Radio.
In the last few years, America's been knocked down. 23 million people can't find full-time work. And we borrow $4 billion every single day, much of it from China. If someone doesn't get the job done, you got to hold them accountable. Obama's second term would be a rerun of the first, and our country just couldn't survive that. We need someone who can turn it around fast, and that man is Mitt Romney. There's not much time left, and the future of our country is at stake.
American Crossroads is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Approaching Blaine Station, Hope and Change Street.
24 minutes after the hour right here on blogtalkradio.com. Now, I'm trying to get this audio up of the Justin Timberlake wedding video. Now, again, if you haven't heard this, and I'm sure most people aren't interested, but it's funny to me because it's humorous. You know, these people have a crap load of money. You know, they're rich beyond their wildest dreams. That's great. We have no issue with that. But here, this friend makes what he thinks is a funny video of homeless people around California talking about you know, why they missed the wedding. Sorry I couldn't be there, so to speak. You know, wishing them well. I mean, it's good-natured. That's why I want to play it so bad, because I want to see how horrible it was, to see what the fuss is about. Nobody really cares, but trying to paint rich people as insensitive is the objective here, especially by Gawker. You know, you got all of this money, you know, all your friends, your rich friends are running around mocking homeless people, and they think that's hilarious. Here's a story, and this is apparently from what TMZ put up. Apparently, TMZ talked to the homeless man who appeared in the video. It says, one of the homeless men who appeared in the video reportedly featured at Justin Timberlake's wedding says that he was paid $40 and had no idea that he was the punchline of a sick joke. Already. TMZ spoke with the man, Eddie, who tells us he was just minding his own business in Hollywood. Right. He was minding his own business in Hollywood. Love it. Anyway, when he was approached by a man who offered him money in exchange for him saying a few pre-written lines into the camera. Eddie says the cameraman told him the video was being made for a friend's wedding. Eddie had no idea that it was for Timberlake and Jessica Biel. When we told him how the footage was used, Eddie told us, that makes me feel really bad. That was a trick played on me. In case you're wondering why Eddie was dressed so nicely in our video, and there's a picture of Eddie, and he seems to be wearing like a Ralph Lauren polo half zip. He looks pretty dressed. He says it's because he was out looking for a job. And he's trying to do something to change his life. But if you look at the video, I mean, he looks pretty. I think I have the video up. I think I can actually run it now. It's about 25 seconds. Let's see if this actually plays here. But in the picture, yeah, he does look a little haggard. All right, let me see if this plays here.
Jessica and Justin. I haven't seen this man in a long time. My gift is in the mail. What would you like to tell them? Realize
and watch your man.
For your children? I think he goes skin.
Skin? Jessica? It's me, Robert. Maybe
so apparently there's a couple of people who are in the video. I'm sorry if the audio is horrible. But there are a couple of people that they just walked around and they just asked them to say something nice to Justin and Jessica. And they've got everything from a homeless man to a transvestite. The transvestite is the one that says, good luck, watch your man. It was supposed to be good natured. It was funny. But the people were paid. People were paid. They weren't used. They were paid. But this apparently is a big deal to all of the, of course, you know, these liberal morons. You know, say, oh, they're making fun of the homeless. It couldn't get dumber than that. Now, is Justin Timberlake and Jessica Biel going to be forced to apologize for this? Would they be forced to apologize for this? And this is a private thing that no one was supposed to even know about because it was a private event.
Well, what you know, it's kind of nuts and it's crazy. I'm so sick of political correctness and tippy toeing on issues in this country now. It's like you really can't say what you want to say, or in some cases be who and how you want to be. I think it's pretty damn pathetic that they would look at it like this. I mean, this man was paid. In some cases, a week's worth of groceries.
Yeah, and he got paid. Here's the thing. He got paid $40 for something that probably took him seconds to do. Probably took him less than 30 seconds to do. He got paid $40 for it. I know people who don't make $40 in a day.
But hey, that's corporate pay.
It didn't cost him. I mean, it didn't take him a minute to do it. And the guy just says, hey, you know, I haven't seen, you know, hey, Justin, I haven't seen you in a long time. Now, first of all, he's being told to talk about people he knows he doesn't know. The guy tells him, you know, who are they? Obviously, he asks him, like, who are these people? He's like, oh, you know, I'm just doing it for my friends who are about to get married. I want to do something funny for him or something clever to, for him. But, of course, the homeless guy finds out it's for two famous people. Oh, I've been slighted.
Is this the black guy with no teeth?
Yes.
He was convinced that he was made fun of.
Oh, was he convinced?
He had no idea? Are you kidding me?
Yeah, but, okay, if the guy turns around and says, hey, would you like to do this video and I'll pay you for it, it'd be something different if you just used a homeless person walking down the street and just films the guy and doesn't at least, you know, reward him for his contribution.
$40?
It's $40 for less than a minute.
This guy would have done it for a beef patty and an Old English.
Exactly. What's more, that's the part. And JC, you just tapped on it. What would have been more acceptable? For this guy to have done nothing in Hollywood, panhandled, asked people for money for doing nothing, right? For no work, no contribution to society, just giving, putting his hand out and receiving $40 in about 5 hours, that would have been much more reputable than to him just say, hey, Jessica. Hey, Justin. I haven't seen y'all in a while, man. I heard you got married. Congratulations. Oh, that, for some odd reason, not honest work. That's deceptive.
He was paid to act, and guess what?
Yes! He got
He didn't do a damn good job.
And he got fame after the fact.
Now, while he shut his ass up, get his own YouTube channel and make some money doing celebrity news.
Say again?
I don't want to shut his ass up, get his own YouTube channel, and make some money doing celebrity news.
He's in Hollywood every day. I mean, here's the thing.
I'm sure he's got stories.
If you want to really, really laugh about it, here's where it makes it even more interesting. How he could have even made this more interesting. He's on Hollywood, right? He's in Hollywood. He's on the streets panhandling, right? With all of that being said, okay, and he can obviously dress nice on his own, right? Why wouldn't TMZ say, hey, we don't like the way that you were mistreated. Want a job as a cameraman?
Better yet.
Why not?
I'd like to see him... Doing red carpet for TMZ.
I would love to see that. Let's bring in Edward.
Listen, give the man one of those T-shirts with the tuxedo printed on it.
Uh huh.
And stick them right out there on the red carpet.
Yeah, right. But no one gets the guy a job. He gets paid to do something that took about 30 seconds, and he's considered used.
Yeah.
Or mocked.
Or abused.
Yeah, exactly. Or abused. No one's making fun of who he is or what he does. They just ask him to read a statement saying congratulations to Justin and Jessica, and all of a sudden, whoa, all hell breaks loose. Edward, did you see this video?
No, I haven't seen it. I'm first being exposed to it tonight from what you're telling me. But, you know, I think you asked a very important question, which was whether or not these celebrities should be forced to apologize. And in normal circumstances, I would say no. But I'm going to admit that I don't know these two particular people. But if they are the type that uphold this ridiculous political correctness, hell yeah, they should be made to apologize.
Listen, Edward, I'm sorry. This is the guy that ripped Janet Jackson's kitty out in the Super Bowl.
But later,
apologize, JC. And even then, Reese, he distanced himself and let her take the fall.
That's right. He later apologized. In fact, he got a lot of flack from the black community for that. That he saved his career and let Janet stew in it.
Yes.
Which I thought
her career hasn't been the same since. And he did an album or two, one album after, but then he kind of fell off as well. But her career hasn't been the same since then.
Yeah, but I thought she was a has-been anyway. I thought that was a real horrible effort by her during the Super Bowl anyway. I thought that career was a wrap nonetheless. Hey, Dennis, how are you?
Well, I feel pretty good. Reese, you know, she could always go back in Celebrity Apprentice.
Who's that? Janet Jackson? Well, that's
yes.
Nice on there.
No, huh? That was Toya.
Toya, oh, yeah, I don't know the Jacksons. They all look alike to me. You know how they are.
That was a Toya.
Yeah.
They're all ringing the doorbell, you know, looking, you know, with a Bible in their hand, you know.
I'm still shocked at the fact that this got attention from TMZ on the level of Justin and them. Like, how do you say
that? I have
Justin,
no idea what the hell you're talking about. I just
you don't know these people.
I have no
idea. You don't know any of these people?
No. I just wanted to mention last night was a very important show.
Oh, it was. I had a great time yesterday. That's why I wanted to lighten it up.
Well, if you wanted to lighten it up, put pancake powder on your face.
Oh, and then lick your lips.
You're in rare form today. Anyway, okay, so in other celebrity news, and I guess...
No, I got something bigger for you, dude.
What do you have?
I think there's a slip. I think there's a split. Okay, it could go either way. I think there's a split in Lesbianville.
Whoa.
Are these
important lesbians?
Uh-oh.
Well, one of their names is Ellen.
Yeah, that's right.
No.
Then the next important lesbian would be Rosie O'Donnell.
Whoa.
No.
Reese, can I ask you a question?
Then the next one would be the chick that came out that left her husband and said that she chose to be gay. What's her name from...
No, you guys are thinking too way in the box.
Oh, Hillary Clinton? You talking about Hillary Clinton?
No. listen, you're close. Edward, you're close.
Really?
Well, you're close.
Who is this then?
Albright?
We're talking about Oprah Winfrey. Oh.
No. Stop it. She's leaving Stedman?
No. I think her and Gail King are on the outs.
Really? That doesn't even make sense.
You know, Gil is on the CBS Morning Show.
Right.
Oprah this morning, she hosted Good Morning America.
Yeah, but I think that was because Good Morning America right now has the number one ratings in morning television.
And they've had it for the longest.
Well, no, you're talking about Oprah being on GMA this morning?
Yes.
Oprah was on GMA because of Robin.
Right. It was a big Robin thing, and not only that, GMA is the number one show, but no one's watching CBS, the CBS Morning News. No one's watching.
I have a question for you, Reese.
Hold on, listen.
Oprah was filling in for Robin because she had that bone marrow transplant.
Okay, fine and dandy, but on the same token, we're talking to someone that heads up Oprah's O magazine.
Right.
Has
I think
huge,
you're reading too
huge
much
position on her network.
Yeah, but Oprah was on the CBS Morning News. I mean, it couldn't have been 6 months ago. I mean, it was literally just months ago she was on there.
She might have done a segment on there.
Yeah.
Or interview, but when you host and you're Oprah Winfrey, that TMA doesn't need it. TMA does not need it because they're already killing the mornings.
JC, the only reason Oprah was on GMA is because her and Robin are friends. Robin is not there. And if you watch the whole thing, she didn't really say much.
She didn't. She was really
awful. She kind of was just in the background. She kind of was just there to be there.
Yeah. Yeah, it was all filler.
It was all just for Robin. It had nothing to do with I mean, they guest people come in and fill in every day for Robin.
Yeah, and the yeah, you're right. And people who have filled in have actually had a bigger role. GMA has been, ever since they did this Katie Couric versus Sarah Palin on the Today Show, it really, really worked for the Today Show. And it actually, I think it was just after the Sarah Palin appearance on the Today Show, they did Katie Couric. She was on there for a while. And when Katie Couric went off, their ratings started to boom. And now they've been bringing more and more celebrities to come in and co-host. They had Rob Lowe last week. They've had people come in and sort of do this co-hosting bit for a little while now.
Reese.
So I don't think it's anything that we can read into.
Hey,
break
up
it up. Yeah, go ahead, Dennis.
I have a question. What are the parameters exactly for Jigaboo time?
They're usually at 9:30.
No. What qualifies for a story? I mean, cause I had something that might be for Jigaboo Light.
Okay, well, the parameters for Jigaboo time is generally this. It's usually a story that is outrageous that happened in the hood. Right, something outrageous that happened in the hood, be it trailer park or, you know, urban black.
No, this happened at the university.
Ooh. Okay, save it.
Were they black?
I'll be happy to ask.
What did he say?
Were they black people?
No, but that's the interesting hook.
Well, did they do something?
It's a Jigaboo-like scenario, but happened at a university. Huh.
Were they white?
White. Strictly white, but it's a PC gone wild.
Oh, okay, I love it already.
hold on. Did they do something black?
Well, some might say, show enough for shizzle, and some saying you're out of your friggin' mind.
You don't necessarily have jiggle time. You got wiggaboo time.
That would be, well, I should just come out and tell you what happened. You guys be the judge. A doctor, he has an earned doctorate and has a monthly conservative newspaper in Northeast Massachusetts. He's a professor at University of Lowell, UMass Lowell, Massachusetts. Uh-huh. And I guess an article last month, he said something about a tar baby.
Oh, really?
And another professor, a white professor of math, has written to the chancellor of the college, former United States Representative Martin Meehan, and demanding that not only that be struck from the records of the school, but the man's tenure be eliminated. He'd be fired for using the word "tar baby" because it's so racially insensitive. And the guy had nothing to do with race. He just said certain things are like tar babies. You don't want it to be stuck to you.
Well, you know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of that story maybe some 10 years ago about the politician in New Jersey who was talking about fiscal...
Well, that was DC.
That's the one. He was talking about fiscal responsibility, and he used the word niggardly. And the community went nuts. And I love his pushback.
I think a better term is they went apeshit.
But I loved his comeback.
Well, you mentioned Robbins, so it was going to be batshit.
His pushback, which I loved more than anything, was get a dictionary. You know? He's like, do you feel as though maybe you may have been insensitive by using that word? He said, the only thing I can tell to everyone who heard that press conference is get a dictionary.
So my question to you then, that would qualify for wiggaboo time, but not jigaboo time.
Definitely wiggaboo time.
Yeah, the wiggaboo.
Should there be a new segment of wiggaboo time?
If I could find a wiggaboo song, that's perfect.
Yeah, what would be good for the wiggaboo theme?
I have to find something. JC, help me out with this thing, because you know I can't stand this guy. P. Dummy. P. Diddy. John P. Diddy Coons. Help me with this.
Did you see him crawling out of his truck?
I heard. He crawled out of his expensive SUV. It's a wreck. He got into a head-on collision at the Beverly Hilton. By the way, is there something about this place in black celebrities that I don't know about? The Beverly Hilton Hotel. It seems to be tragic for black celebrities.
I agree. I agree. And you know what I'm thinking? Had he died at that hotel, all of his kids would have their own reality show about 6 months after he's dead.
Trust me, I'm about to get into that. Okay, so he's injured in a car crash, and apparently this happened right outside of what? The Beverly Hilton Hotel?
Yeah, the Beverly Hilton.
Yeah, now this is the same hotel that Whitney Houston died in back on February 11th.
Right.
Right. Now, that's the picture of the SUV, if you haven't seen it. It's got pretty, it hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
He got up, he walked away. They said he survived some injuries. But the part that freaked me out is that he went hiding. He went hiding behind a fence when camera crews showed up. Because he didn't want people to see him banged up or scared or disheveled. And one of the guys who worked at the Beverly Hilton Hotel, I crap you not, walked up on the cameraman and said to him, quote, "If you don't move, I will take you down right here." Look at the cameraman. Now, this is a guy who works at the hotel. He's in a pink polo shirt.
Really?
Yeah, pink polo shirt, and he's caught on camera, walking up to the cameraman saying, "Hey, get out of here. If you don't put that down, I'll take you down."
Maybe that was the problem to begin with, wearing the pink shirt.
If I was the cameraman, I'm just going, "No, I'm sorry, buddy.
That was going to be my question. Who else is in the vehicle?
Your fashion choices do not scare me."
Listen, who else was in the vehicle? Any word?
His drivers. Now, first of all, I don't know whether or not you guys know the history of the whole Sean P. Diddy Combs and Notorious B.I.G. sort of lineage. Okay?
Nope.
The bottom line, these people are always with folks who can't drive. Okay? Biggie broke his leg when Little C's was driving their Mercedes-Benz. If you saw the movie Notorious, you saw it acted out for itself in the film. Right? Little C's is driving the car when Biggie is shot and killed in California. P. Diddy also driving in the back of an SUV when he took the police on a high-speed chase in New York City. When they had the gun in the car when he was arrested for gun charges, and rapper Shine ended up doing 10 years for shooting
a
girl.
Shine Barrows.
Yeah, Shine Barrows. So these guys don't have luck when other people are driving their car. But to add that insult to injury, anybody remember P. Diddy's bicycle accident in the Mission You video? So they've got a problem.
Yeah.
I mean, if Lindsay Lohan is going to get crap for her driving ability, I think P. Diddy needs to be up there as well.
But he's not driving.
That's just the point. Here's a guy.
Maybe he should drive.
But that's what I'm saying. Lindsay Lohan can sit up here and say, "Everybody keeps telling me to get a driver. Have you seen P. Diddy's career?"
No, but you see, the thing that question that puzzles me is, he jumps out and goes and hides.
He got out, he crawled onto the grass, and then when the cameraman came up there, he went hiding behind a fence.
Okay, well listen, you get into a car accident like this, and if you've seen the front end of the vehicle, it's totally smashed in.
On the passenger side, at that.
Okay, so...
You know what I think? What I think his problem is, it always turns out that who's driving him is always some fool named Pookie or his cousin Boo Boo. You need to hire some professional drivers and some professional security. You've got the money, man. Stop fooling around with your uncle out on parole.
Exactly.
Your uncle out on parole. But seriously, if you've ever been in a car accident, especially a car accident that looks as, you know, if
that
it was a
bad
head-on collision, it was pretty bad. And I'm
what
sure
do you want him to do? Hire a Kennedy?
What are you saying? What were we saying then?
Forget it.
Sorry.
I was going to say Hulk Hogan's son.
Yeah, please don't hire him.
Nick Hogan. But no. But see, to get out and go run and hide, I'm sure that's something Teddy Pendergrass would have liked to have done.
He couldn't hide. You crazy? His car was stuck up in a tree.
Well, I said something he would have liked to have done. That's why I'm asking, who was in the car with him?
Yeah, that's a very important question.
And I guess you see where I'm going with that, because you know who was in the car with Teddy.
Yeah, it's funny, that woman, or Shim, or her, has never come out publicly after that.
No, never.
Isn't that interesting? You know the Teddy Pendergrass story, right?
No.
Okay, you know who Teddy Pendergrass is.
Of course.
Okay. Teddy Pendergrass, what caused him to be paralyzed was that he was in a car accident. He crashed his car, and when he was literally, I guess he had the jaws of life used to get him out of the car, it turns out that the woman that he was in the car with was a transvestite.
Oops.
Okay.
And he never, ever talked about it. No one ever interviewed the transvestite. Transvestite was never. I mean, even what was that broad's name with Hugh Grant, Denise Brown. Even she got publicity, but not Teddy Pendergrass's.
No. And this is a man who gave concerts strictly for women.
Yeah. I mean, he was throw your panties on the stage, man.
You sure they were women in retrospect?
You are absolutely right.
No, I would think that the Coliseum, wherever he performed, that they would have control over that. But no, he really did. He just held concerts strictly for women.
Yeah, I mean, he was considered, extremely masculine, and that that almost. I mean, I would say that was pretty much direct.
I didn't see Teddy Pendergrass like that.
Really?
No.
Oh, you didn't see him in the 70s.
Well, you didn't see him in the 70s.
You know, a great performer.
Right.
But sexy?
Women. Yeah, women don't.
And like, throw my panties on stage.
That was the
sexy
term. What Eddie Murphy coined that phrase. Throw your panties on the stage. That was
but women were.
Hey, speaking of Eddie Murphy, what happened to the prostitute that he was caught with?
I didn't see him that way.
Right, he was, right, Eddie Murphy as well. But you know what? I think Eddie Murphy was the result of really, really good PR. That story didn't last a month when he picked up the transvestite.
And not only that, and Reese, not only that, what do you call him? Whatever it is now dead.
Which one is now dead?
For some time, and they came up dead after passing the lie detector test on the Howard Stern show.
Whoa! Who are we talking about here?
We're talking about Eddie Murphy's transvestite.
Wait a minute. So the transsexual that Eddie Murphy picked up on West Hollywood is now dead?
Yes.
Now, what do you mean they were on Howard Stern taking the lie detector test? For what purpose?
To prove that he was with Eddie Murphy.
Oh, just to prove that he was there. Howard didn't ask him whether or not there was sex involved?
I didn't hear it. I'm sure there's audio out there somewhere of it. But if you know Howard, I'm sure he did ask the question.
Of course.
But
he'd be a moron not to.
The guy.
What happened to the other sex scandal involving the alleged male lover of John Travolta? That seemed to have died away too.
That sure enough did.
Yeah, sure did.
You're absolutely. That was a huge story for a little while, and that's gone too. But then again, I think these guys have way more powerful PR people, than we could even fathom. Because
I don't think so. I mean, it kind of depends on who you are. Because Mace, when Mace got busted picking up transsexuals down in Atlanta after leaving hip hop and running into the church. When his SUV broke down and while picking up transsexuals and the cops came and they towed his vehicle, he refused to leave the vehicle and got towed away inside of the vehicle.
Hmm.
Which is illegal.
I've been in the PR game for a little bit. I did PR game for about 2 years. And, I give credit to Angelo Ellerbe, and, we worked the Dionne Warwick story when she got caught. The weed in Miami airport.
Do you think Donald Trump will come up with his next show as a transsexual apprentice?
I hope not. When we did the Dionne Warwick story, we spun that story like crazy, and the only reason why we were able to spin it is because we kind of had reporters in our pockets. We had relationships with them, the New York Post, the Times, the Daily News, the LA Times. We had you know, the Miami Herald, we had a lot of influence with these people, where in essence was, you know, all we have to do is promise them something. Hey, after the fact, we'll get a statement from Dionne Warwick for you. You know, we'll give them something on the back end. These people don't have any journalistic pride. You know, they'll do anything you ask them to do. So with somebody like John Travolta, who's got the money and the means, you can make a story go away.
Let me ask you this, though. Do you think some of these people plant stories against themselves just to get the buzz going so their name is put out there? And since it had no legs to begin with, that's how it dies a natural death.
You know, it's interesting that you say that, because I've done it. In the PR game, if you really, really want to get some attention, I've even had clients flat out ask whether or not we can create a scandal that will get media attention, because inside the, you know, inside the boardroom, if you will, of the PR campaign, there is no such thing as bad publicity.
As long as they spell your name right.
Yeah, exactly. It's to get your name out there, to get people talking about you. And that, you know, as long as you are sitting, you know, as long as you are in that newspaper, you're on page 6 in the Post, as long as you're on the front page of USA Today, they'll go for it.
Well, let
you
me
know,
ask you this,
I don't know
then.
How
the
many,
people that you've been mentioning, the ones who had the sex scandals or alleged sex scandals, were their careers, do you think, in your opinion, lagging or fading at any point, and then they might have needed this publicity?
Well, John Travolta, what was the last big – right now, John Travolta, he's pimping an Olivia Newton-John reunion album.
He's reaching.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's
so
like –
this is all plausible then, the scenario.
Oh, it's extremely plausible. It's extremely plausible. And I just find it – you know, I find it odd that – people, you know, what's the they have this one place I know that's very, very popular in L.A., the Grove, right, in L.A., which is a big deal. Everybody knows, and TMZ was one of the first places to expose this, because they would go, Lindsay Lohan was coming out of the Grove and she was covering her face and trying to hide her face. But everybody says the same thing. It's like in Hollywood, everyone knows, like the deep, dark secret is if you want to be seen, that's exactly where you go.
So then we should expect Justin Bieber to be there soon?
Yeah, well, exactly. If you feel as though you want to be seen, you want the paparazzi to be there, everybody hangs out at the Grove. You know, hey, let's go to the Grove. And if you know if a celebrity says, hey, let's go to the Grove, that's because they know they're going to get their picture in Us Weekly, you know, in People magazine. They're going to end up in the magazine. That's the whole idea.
No matter how many times they might deny saying that they were harassed by the paparazzi,
exactly.
They love it.
Exactly.
Today at Viper Room.
Well, yeah, but you know what? Someone said this a long time ago. Edward and JC, you'll remember probably who said it, that this whole business, the celebrity business, is a very vain business. And why is it vain? It's because without vanity, you're nothing.
Right.
You know what I mean? You have to be vain. How can you be in this business if you're not? If it's really about the art, you know, there are many people out there who do the art and you never, ever see them. You know, you never ever see them, you never see their faces, you never see them in front of the cameras at all. But there are people out there who know that in order to be a part of this business, and it's usually the least talented hacks who are the ones that have to be the most vain. You know, people like, you know, Brad Pitt and Angelina Jolie, they don't need to go to the Grove because they know that there are people out there scouring to see pictures of them or to find out where it is that they are. They don't need to do that anymore. But then you got the talentless hacks who must have it. You know, they got to have it.
Oh, sure,
where they...
Kardashian.
Exactly. Talentless hacks who have to have it.
Oh, no, no,
you
no.
Know,
you know what they're calling them now? Socialites.
Oh, which is, again, the worst word ever.
Well, they used to be socialists.
That's interesting that you say that, because most of them, when you find out their politics, they pretty much behave like socialists, Dennis.
Absolutely.
They damn sure do. Anyway, but lastly, just before we get out of here, I want to say a huge congratulations to Mark Sanchez, not for winning a game. I want to thank Mark Sanchez and congratulate him for losing something. Now, normally I don't do this because I am a Jet fan. I'm a huge Jet fan. But I understand that just recently Mark Sanchez, quarterback of the New York Jets, has lost at something that I'm very, very proud of. He has finally stopped dating that piece of garbage Latina, Eva Longoria.
Who did?
Mark Sanchez. For the first time, my friend, I am happy that you lost something. I don't care how many times you got sacked.
You mean she wasn't a wise Latina?
No, she was not. And I am happy that that is a wrap and that is over with. And that is done. Please do not associate yourself with Tony Parker's leftovers. Please do not
no.
do that to yourself.
No. NBA leftovers?
And you know, all your
NBA
fans are
leftovers are the worst.
All right, folks, we're going to wrap it up tonight because that is us for tonight. We're just going to do an hour-long show today and tomorrow. We'll be back in full force on Monday. But we'll see you guys tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Same bat time, same bat channel. Thank you guys, as usual, for always joining in on the conversation. Again, the number is 347-308-8701. Whenever you like, please call in, check out the show whenever it is you can. And Matu, actually, I want to thank you again for finding our show and being a part of it yesterday. And we'll do it again real soon, folks. We'll see you then. It's Reese on the Radio. Oh, by the way, I'm only playing this because it's in homage of P. Diddy, who destroyed this record with a horrible Mace remix.